when everyone is gathering together as family and singing jolly songs, that's rough for some people who are mourning the loss of someone or suffering through an illness. Here we light the candle of hope, and here's the promise. The promise is that there is a hope that can come into whatever darkness we're living in. And this promise is for everyone. It's not just for a specific group of people. It's for everyone. And there's nothing that can separate us from this promise. The promise is that hope can come into the world that we live in and change it. What is the hope of God, and what hopes do you have in your life today? Hope is so important. If we look forward to something coming in the future, it changes our present. Just think about that. Like, it doesn't matter what kind of darkness you're living in today. If you know the future's going to get better, it changes your present so that you can get through the darkness you're living in. That's true, isn't it? Like, the Bible says all things will work together for good for those that put their trust in God. If you really believe that, and I really believe that, wouldn't that just change your present today? Doesn't matter what I'm going through today. Doesn't matter how stormy it is outside. Doesn't matter how dark it is. There's going to be something that is in the future that's going to be better. Like, at some point, it's going to be all. Everything's going to be all right. And having that hope transforms the present day you're living in today. That's what that candle represents for us. So what is it that you hope for today? There was a story about a man who was an inmate in a prison just north of Toronto. And he had met a woman online. And then she visited him. And they became friends, and then they fell in love, and then they got married. And he had a 10-year prison sentence. But she said, I'll work for you. And this man was talking about how it's like, I'm living in a prison. Like, what more destitute, desperate place can anybody... And he said, but I'm happy. Like, I'm happy in my prison cell. Why? Because I have something to hope for. I know that she's going to wait for me. It's like every year there's some guy who wins the lottery but doesn't cash his ticket in. But you know this guy? It's like 2 weeks ago, another guy waited for like a year. And he just said, I wanted to know what it feels like. Like, I know I'm going to get this however million dollars, but I just wanted to wait and to know what it feels like to live in that climate of hope. He said, I could have lived in a ditch for a year, and I still would have been happy because I know what's to come. And a woman with cancer, just diagnosed. I mean, how close does that touch home for so many of us here? And the oncologist said it's serious. But with rounds of chemo and radiation, we give you a 90% chance of full recovery. And now this woman is like, I can get through chemo, and chemo is no fun. And I don't mind losing my hair now because, like, at least now I know, and I can live in a spirit. And when you live in that spirit of hope, you can get through whatever you have to do. Now in the Bible, there's a very specific kind of hope. That hope is called the hope of God. Oh, look at this. A year? No. I got this card in the mail. It's a couple I married in September. Second wedding for both of them. JP and Virginia. And they're so happy on the front of this card. They're just so happy. And I don't know why, but I think you can imagine why they're happy, because they just got married and they have so much to hope for. Now, JP works for a Swedish company. And he was just offered a position in Sweden with that same company for 2 years, and he took it. He just couldn't not take it. They just became members of this church. And now it's kind of like, we just joined the church, we were just looking forward to getting involved in certain things. Now we're going to Sweden for 2 years. But they got married, and they're so happy because now they have this future to look forward to. But what's the hope of God? Like, the Bible promises the hope of God. And then there was another couple I married who were quite young. This was a couple years ago. Youngest wedding I ever did, I think he was 20 and she was 19. They didn't have anything. They didn't have a car. They didn't have any money. They didn't have a house to call home. They didn't have, like, any kind of security, really. But they were just so happy. Because they were just full of hope. All they had, beyond all those things they didn't have, all they had was vows that they had made to each other that they will be there for each other in plenty and in want, in sickness and in health. That's all they had. And then they had a plan to have a family together. And they lived in the bright light of this hope. And it surrounded them like a comforter and protected them against the cold. What's the hope of God that the Bible promises? All through, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Well, here's the text. I just picked one. There's a literally dozens and dozens of verses I could have chosen that have to do with hope. The hope of God that we remember when we light a candle. Even youths grow tired and weary. Songs have been written about this verse. And young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in God will renew their strength. And they will soar on wings like eagles. I mean, we can understand that when you have something to look forward to here, it'll change your present because now you have hope. We can understand that, but what if you don't have anything to look forward to? Like, what if there's nothing you have sitting here this morning that you're hoping for, and your present is not transformed, and you're sitting in that darkness, and you're wondering, I want to know what this promise is that is more specifically about a specific hope that is the hope of God. What is it? Like, what does that mean? And the story message is that it's for everyone. And it comes into whatever darkness you're living through, and it stays. And somehow you can get through that darkness because now you have something to hope for. Which is the hope of God that all the prophets talked about. Our hope lies in the promises that God makes to us. Man, Julia touched on this. Kathy touched on this. When it comes to that, there's always a twist. And it's not just Jesus often like would tell a story, and then right at the end there's this unexpected thing that you weren't expecting. It's like, oh, I mean, it seems so clear, but I wasn't even thinking how the story was going to end that way. And here, there's always this incredible twist as we talk about the hope of the Lord. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and we've seen that before, most of us. Can you imagine someone who has never, ever heard about this concept that there is a God? And someone reads in the beginning, God, even before you get to the other stuff, you mean there's a God that is real? Like, do you mean as a people of faith, you believe that there is a power that created the universe that is actually real? And it's a living, breathing, dynamic thing? Like, that's incredible in and of itself. In our hope is the reality of God, but not just God, but a God who creates. And then a God who creates only good things. And all through the New Testament, Jesus talks so much about this. It's not just in Genesis that God created the universe, it's that God still creates. God just creates in us, like this image of God having his hands on us, like a potter having his hands on a clump of clay and molding it into something beautiful. That's what our hope is. It's not just that God created the universe. God can still create universes in our lives today. God can create universes in your life today. That's all through the New Testament. That's what our hope is. When you're feeling like, I am done. I am too old. I'm not educated enough. I'm too ordinary. God will create in you. And then as we go further into the Hebrew Scriptures, we hear more promises. We start to see that not only is God real and the source of goodness, but that God is somehow a part of our lives, a living presence that helps us and comforts us and comes up alongside us. All through the Old Testament, God was with Israel as they went through the Sinai Desert and they finally made it to the Promised Land. They wouldn't have made it to the Promised Land if God hadn't been with them. In Genesis chapter 1, Adam and Eve, God was with them. They talked to God. They walked around with God. It was like they were going to a picnic or something. God was just there, a part of their lives. Psalm 23, you walk with me through the valleys. This is our hope that God is always with us. This is a radical shift in terms of ancient religious thought. You've got to remember, Assyrians, Egyptians, all the powers around Israel believed in gods. They didn't believe in God. And in the Hebrew Bible, is the first time that any kind of ancient religion professed that there's just one God. There's only one God. But not only is there just one God, but that God is a part of your life. That the creator of heavens and earth actually knows who you are. That's our hope. At Christmas time, we remember that where Jesus was born. This is so important. It's so simple, but it's so important. Why didn't God birth Jesus in a palace? I mean, why didn't God birth Jesus in the temple in Jerusalem? Like, you know, that in the temple in Jerusalem, there's the holiest of holies right at the center of the temple. And that's the part of the temple that nobody can ever go into or even look at. It's separated by a curtain. That was the why wasn't Jesus born in the holiest of holies? He was born in a barn. And then when he died the most horrible death. Do you know why? It's so that we can know that God is with us. That when you're in the most humble circumstance of your life, you know that Jesus was born in a barn, just like you were. Like when you're suffering, and people here this morning are suffering in some way, Jesus was crucified. Like the whole point of all that is just that God just wants you to know that whatever you're going through, he's been there and he's there with you, and he knows what you're going through. That's our hope, that God is with us. And then Paul says, I pray that you know the great power of God in your life. It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. If God can do that, what can God do in your life? And then there's Easter. That's our hope. We remember Easter when we light Christmas candles. We remember that the end of this life is not the end of life at all, but the people that you've lost, you'll see again. What an incredible thing. And again, people that aren't part of a community of faith might think, but do you really believe that? And we're like, yeah. Man, that is just touchstone stuff. Like, there's nothing in this life that we believe stronger than there'll be a life after. There are two types of funerals that I do. There's just two types. There's the type where a community of people gather in their sadness who don't believe that there's an afterlife. And then there's another type of funeral where there's a community of people who gather in their sadness and they do believe in heaven. And there is just such a difference. I mean, I've been at funerals, I've officiated at funerals, where I feel like I'm at a party. I feel like it's like, and yes, it's hard to lose, even when you do believe, it's hard to lose younger people. But I've been at funerals where people believe that, and it makes a difference. It's huge. The hope in the room is palpable when people believe that. That's our hope, that we remember when we light the candle. Joni and I met this week. I don't know if all of you know Joni. Joni's sitting right here in the front. Joni lives at the Collingwood Nursing Home right now. And Joni, you've been struggling the past couple weeks. Joni was a good friend of Kevin, who was our drummer, and you still really miss Kevin. And you wanted to meet, so we came and we talked. And Joni, you told me that you were tired of living, that you just had enough. And so we talked about that. And we talked about how, first of all, that you believe in heaven as I do. We talked about that. We talked about, here's how much life you've lived, Joni. This is how much life you've lived. And here's how much life you have that is before you. And if you believe in heaven, it gives you the strength. And because you have the hope of what's to come, it gives you the strength just to endure that part of life you still have. We talked about that. It's so true. I mean, sometimes in our struggle, we have to have that hope to get through. And Joni and I talked about, we'll do everything we can to help you in the present. It's your church. But if you have the hope for things that are to come, it helps you to get through the stuff you're going through now. It transforms your present when you have that hope for the future. So here's the final point, and this is the twist. And this is what Kathy was talking about when she was talking about the pieces. This is what Julia was talking about. This is what we talk about. We want to give $5 out of every $10 to the Out of the Cold program. Here it is. It's just, and it's kind of like, you know, I sort of knew that, but I always forget when I talk about the hope of God. Through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. The Gentiles are the people that weren't originally part of the people of God. but now we're members together of one body, and we are sharers together in the hope we have in Jesus. You know, Jesus just said, you receive from God all the things that we've just talked about. Like, you receive, now go give to someone else. Go share the same hope that you've received. Isn't that simple? But sometimes we get so wrapped up in all the hope that we're receiving, sometimes we just forget the sharing part. There's no greater joy than giving someone hope. Do you know what it's like to give someone some money? People have done this in this church. A young family, they can't afford to send their kids to Camp Karen. So people in this church have given that family money so that they can send their children to Camp Karen. Do you know what it's like to be the givers of hope, not just the receivers of hope? So when somebody says to you, I'm sick with cancer, and the prognosis is that I'm not going to get better, then we say to them, I will be with you always. And I will do everything I can to help you, and I will never leave your side. And even in the shadow of that prognosis, there is hope that there are people around who care. Jesus calls us to be givers of hope, not just takers of hope. And that's what that burning candle reminds us of. You know, we've been blessed here at this church in different ways. I think we've been blessed here because in this church, for so many decades and in so many ways, people receive hope. But then people have figured out that they need to share. And we've done that in so many different ways. I have a card. The community supper that we had on Tuesday. People come out of a dark Tuesday night. It's dark outside. They come into a nice warm room. And there are friendly people that are serving them food. And we sang carols. And they had fellowship. And there was laughter. And they realized at that supper that, you know what, somebody actually cares enough to be able to do something like this for us. And it gives them hope. This is from Marilyn. Many of you know Marilyn Woodward. It's just like, it's a card. It says, Happy Holidays. Just want to thank everyone at the Press Church for people of Christmas time with the hampers and the community suppers every year. The Burning Bush Theater. Kids come and they're all like, half of them are like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can get up on a stage and act and sing. And Kimberly and Martha and Barb Sharp say, yes, you can. Yes, you can. And they get up here and they do it and their self-esteem bumps up about four notches. So that when they look at their future, they think, I can do that. They have like hope now. In so many ways, we're givers of hope at this church. That's why we're blessed. The PA days. You know, like last week, frazzled parents don't know what to do with their kids on PA days. So we had 40 kids here, Julie and her team. And the parents are like, well, somebody cares that much to do that for us. And it gives them hope. And then this week, the kids made ornaments for shut-ins, Christmas ornaments they made. So that Catherine and her team of pastoral care visitors can take those ornaments out and give them to shut-ins. Simple thing. But it's the essence of what we do. So that shut-in people remember that they aren't forgotten. And that we actually care about them and we love them, even though they're not here. And they have that hope. We're givers of hope. And beginning in just 3 days, over 100 people will be here from this church, musicians, actors, dancers, ushers, stagehands, young and old. And we'll be giving hope to thousands of people, 2,300 people, if we get rid of all those tickets, which we fully expect to. At the 9 o'clock service, before the band comes out, every single time before we come out as a band, we pray together, simple prayer. God, may we be your instruments. That's it. When we come out, we do our best. And when the choir comes out, every single time the choir is in the back, before they come out, they have a prayer together. May we be your instruments. Simple prayer. Come out, we do our best. And when we have people come into this place as instruments, we give hope. And we continue to pray, God, guide us. That we might not just be the receivers of great hope, but also the givers of great hope to people around us. Because if we can give this much hope, this is a tag on to last week. If we can give this much hope as a congregation, which we have done, we can give this much hope. Because nothing's impossible for God. Tag on to last week. If we can give this much hope, then we can give this much hope as a people who are called not just to be receivers of hope. That's what that candle reminds us of. Your tickets in the side hall for the story. Invite a friend. Oh man. Let's sing Hope is a Star.